I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about a public policy study partnership shared by the University of Indianapolis and the Indiana Minority Health Coalition, one that places students in internships in which they both can learn about and shape important public discussions. My guests are Tony Gillespie, Indiana Minority Health Coalition Director of Public Policy and Engagement, Diana Hendricks, a University of Indianapolis intern and owner of Healthy Lifestyle Center, LLC, and Whitney Lewis, also a University of Indianapolis intern. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is nolimits@wfyi. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about an interesting new public policy study partnership between the University of Indianapolis and the Indiana Minority Health Coalition. It's one that places students in internships where they can both learn about and shape important public discussions. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimits@wfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Tony Gillespie, who is the Indiana Minority Health Coalition's Director of Public Policy and Engagement, Diana Hendricks, a University of Indianapolis intern and owner of Healthy Lifestyle Center, LLC, and Whitney Lewis, who's also a University of Indianapolis intern. Welcome, all of you. It's good to have you here.
Thank you so much. Our pleasure to be here.
So let's talk a little bit first to give people a framework about how this partnership, this internship program works. I'll start with you, Tony, on that, but I also want to hear from the people who are participating in it.
Right. This is the first year that we actually had public policy interns with the Indiana Minority Health Coalition. Part of our strategic plan for public policy this year was to really increase our visibility at the State House and to really be purposeful about our involvement and participation in the legislature. So we couldn't hire a whole lot of staff. So I began to work with initially with IU School of Public Health and then with University of Indianapolis to look for interns that were interested in public policy. With that, I ended up working with some fantastic students, two gentlemen from Indiana School of Public Health, and then the ladies here from Indiana, from University of Indianapolis, and then there was also another intern from IU School of Public Health. And what we thought was really important that for public health professionals to really get the experience and be immersed in the legislative process, because there certainly is a connection or intersection in public health and policy, especially it couldn't have come at a better time with some of the hot button issues this year with the whole needle exchange issue, the HIV outbreak in southern Indiana, infant mortality.
Somehow the image of throwing them into the deep end before you've taught them to swim comes to
exactly.
mind right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Baptism by fire.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been a more fertile learning ground with some of the topics that we wrestled with this year. Domestic violence, expansion of those services and funds, again, the infant mortality and really zeroing in on infant mortality from health disparities, minority issue, several topics.
Cultural competency.
Cultural competency was one of them. So just a lot of great topics that certainly are public health issues, but not always discussed in a public health conversation. So we really had an opportunity to create something different.
How did you select the interns? I mean, was it a first come, first serve? Was there an application process? How did you go about
Really, I worked with some of the staff. Dr. Beth Meyerson from IU School of Public Health made some recommendations of some students. Dr. Rauch, Heidi Rauch at University of Indianapolis made some recommendations, and we just poured through resumes. And really, the students that were interested in public policy, as exciting as it is to me, it's not always tops on the list of public health students. And again, it's not even something that's always taught in the School of Public Health. I learned that for the IU School of Public Health program, public policy is an elective versus being required. Mm-hmm. And my years of work with the Indiana State Department of Health around HIV and other chronic disease issues, there's always a place for community, but not always a solid partnership that exists between the policymakers and community and the folks at the grassroots at the community level. So we really wanted to begin to close that gap.
Diana and Whitney, what drew you, the two of you, to these internships?
What drew me to this internship is going through the community health education program at UND, looking at our seven areas of responsibility. One of the key areas that is probably most ignored would be this advocacy mm-hmm. in public policy. And that is something that our field really needs more community health educators, more teachers in their field, more medical professionals in their field to advocate for public policy to better any kind of health legislation that we could get out there for the betterment of the communities.
Whitney, how about you?
I actually became a community health education major because I was interested in gender disparities. And the more I learned and the more I went through the program, the more I realized that all disparities are big issues. And that includes any disparities that originate from gender, sexual orientation, race, any minority status is important. And that's something that I learned from my studies at the University of Indianapolis, and I wanted to further that through an internship with the Indiana Minority Health Coalition.
Stay with you for a second, Whitney. What were your big lessons learned from, I probably should say in the interest of full disclosure, we run an internship program through the college that covers public policy issues. That's the whole Statehouse file thing, and I always tell a joke about how when we first bring students up there, they walk around for about 3 days because the State House is a big and intimidating building. And they think, oh, my gosh, what am I doing here? And then after about 3 days, they're looking around at everyone else and thinking, well, what are they doing? what lessons learned did you have?
About public policy specifically?
Well, from the experience. I want to get a sense of how the experience altered you or enhanced your understanding or, you know, what impact did it have on you as a person? We'll get to the global issues a little later, but I really want to know what it was like for you as just a young person walking around a pretty big and impressive place.
Through IMHC, I've done a lot with the programs department, and I had the pleasure of being invited to a few public policy events through Tony, and one of them was to hear about HPV legislation, and that was something that I had never been to before. I'd never been in the State House before, and you're right, it's big, and it kind of introduces you to the intricacies of introducing new policies. When you're in college, you're pretty idealistic and you think, well, this policy needs to be changed. This policy needs to be changed. The world could be better if we did this or that. And when you actually go to the State House and you listen to legislation, you realize just how difficult it is sometimes and all of the barriers and the opposition that you can get that are unexpected. And that's something that I think, was really the biggest impact for me.
Diana, how about you? What lessons learned?
Well, my internship was mostly done over the summer for the summer intern committee at the State House. And Tony wanted me to get a feel for what the State House was really about when the legislators were in session. So I did come in at the very end of it just to feel how empowering That's what I thought as soon as I walked in, to see all the people there, the legislators in session, making decisions on what bills were going to be passed or not, what was going to be fed into the summer committees to have more research work done on them. So having that aspect of it from the beginning, let me see what my summer now leads to
coming up with another session. Were you watching like the interim study commissions and all of that, that during the summer? Are you tracking some of those?
I actually participated in some of them. I got to participate with Senator Jean Brough, and I did research on teen suicide and research on handgun training legislation for her. And it's really interesting what it takes to put together a bill in order for it to get passed. The teen suicide was just an upcoming, let's start pulling some ideas to create legislation. But the handgun legislation, I believe, was Senate Bill 48. That one was actually already a legislation piece put in place, but they were now looking at how do we fine-tune this piece of legislation in order to get it to pass. So I was helping them do research work to pull that together.
If you are just joining us here on No Limits, we are talking about an internship program run by the University of Indianapolis, other schools, and the Indiana Minority Health Coalition. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. So, Tony, in terms of, you know, there are some issues I would think that you can't necessarily just drop an intern into. How selective were you in regards to determining where the interns would be used? And, you know, you've got also a dual responsibility. Obviously, you have to advance the mission of the Minority Health Coalition.
Right.
But you also, you know, at some level are becoming an educator here, and you have to put students in positions where they're likely to have some reasonable chance of success.
Right, right. Well, again, okay, advancing the mission of the organization. Our challenge every year in the legislature is that not all legislation is framed from a health disparity, minority health impact. So very much our job starts out when a piece of legislation is authored or introduced, and to figure out what the challenges are and how it would either enhance the lives of minorities or have some negative impact on the lives of minorities. And so that was really the place that we were able to start with our interns, really looking at the legislation, the specific health legislation, going through each piece of legislation that was authored and figured out, okay, is this something that we're going to support or is this something that we need to oppose? And depending on our position, doing the research to acknowledge or to doing the research to support our position, whether in support or in opposition of. That was a place that we were able to start. And then as we moved throughout the session, there were even opportunities where the interns testified in support or in opposition of a piece of legislation. So just really taking our time and being prescriptive in how we move through the process, understanding each piece of legislation, the potential gains or challenges for minorities or Hoosiers in Indiana. One piece of legislation that continues to come back every year is related to methamphetamines. Mm-hmm. Whether we take all products that are ephedrine and pseudoephedrine and make them prescription only, and how that will impact all Hoosiers. And so we had to figure out the intricacies from a minority health perspective.
Did you use the interns to identify those bills? Because most people do not realize just the sheer mass of material. You've got 150 legislators. They introduce somewhere between 5 and 10 bills apiece.
Right.
You can do the math there. And that doesn't include the vehicle bills and all of the other
right. Sort
of legislative amendments and all of that that have to be tracked. Did you use those interns to go through that massive stack to say, oh, yeah, maybe you ought to pay attention to this one too?
I really wanted to make sure that we created an experience where the interns were part of a team. So they participated. We all went through it. We all went through the legislation. We split the list up and we went through it that way. I made sure that our interns at the State House were fully recognized as related to IMHC. They had business cards. Their email addresses were IMHC. They were part of our team. And I thought that that was the best way that we could accomplish multiple priorities. One, it helped extend our visibility at the State House, which was our part of our strategic plan. But it also gave them the experience that they were now community specialists. They were policy interns working on behalf of Indiana Minority Health Coalition and addressing health disparities and minority health issues.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about an internship program coordinated through the Indiana Minority Health Coalition. My guests are Tony Gillespie, who is the Indiana Minority Health Coalition's Director of Public Policy and Engagement, and Diana Hendricks and Whitney Lewis, both of whom interned through the program. They're from the University of Indianapolis. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about an internship program coordinated through the Indiana Minority Health Coalition. It's designed really to facilitate public engagement. My guests are Tony Gillespie, who is the Indiana Minority Health Coalition's Director of Public Policy and Engagement, and Diana Hendricks and Whitney Lewis, both of whom interned through the program. They're connected through the University of Indianapolis. Well, we were talking about the benefits from the Minority Health Coalition. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, from the intern perspective, what were the best parts of it. I'm going to start with you, Whitney, because you're smiling, and I thought that would be a sign you were ready to talk. So, okay.
So like I said, I have mostly interned with the programs department. I have been able to do a couple things for the public policy, and one of those was actually creating talking points for a radio show that I did for Brothers United. I did it through IMHC on behalf of Brothers United, which they're housed in the same building as IMHC. And I was also able to construct a letter to legislators asking them to please attend events that we had going on in the community. Other than that, I have not been able to have a lot of exposure to the public policy department, but I'm hoping in the next month, as I'm finishing up my internship, to do a little bit more.
Well, go ahead, Tony.
Actually, Whitney is being extremely modest. the talking points that she developed, Brothers United is an aid service organization here in Marion County, and they did a radio show on a religious station. Mm-hmm. And so the concern was that the listenership would call in to challenge not only the HIV issue, but also the sexual minority or the sexual orientation issue. Mm-hmm. And so what I asked Whitney to do was really put together broad talking points around sexual identity, sexual minorities, in response to the discrimination legislation that had been a hot button issue for the first part of the legislative session. And she did an incredible job at compiling statistics and data that there were tons of phone calls that day, a lot of not so nice phone calls. Mm-hmm. And each of the representatives with the talking points had excellent information based on fact that they were able to respond with. Gays in media. Indiana is one of how many states that has discriminatory legislation against sexual minorities, just a ton of incredible information. And so as an intern that instinctively pulled that stuff together, she really, really gave them the tools that they needed to navigate through the process.
As Diana kind of touched on earlier, mm-hmm. Tony's really good at asking the interns to do things mm-hmm. that they are interested in. And like I said, I became a community health major so that because of gender disparities, and he knows this, and that's why he approached me to do that.
Well, how did you go about, I mean, that there's a world of difference between being interested in some area or subject and being able to put together
exactly.
a list of talking points.
That are useful.
That are useful. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I could give you my grocery list. That's not really going to help you deal with hostile questioning. But how did you go about that, Whitney?
I started the piece with where we are. Where is the LGBT community right now? What are the recent steps that we've taken to progress? So I spoke about, of course, how gay marriage is now legal across the United States and how big of a success that is. And then I touched on points that maybe aren't so good and things that we do need to progress on, including RFRA and other things that may be discriminatory against the LGBT population. And then I progressed on to making points for becoming inclusive, including the LGBT community. Part of the problem is that people don't understand that excluding the community actually just makes everything so much worse, because it increases suicide rates, it increases violence, all of these other hate crimes.
Health disparities.
Right, mm-hmm. health disparities. And making a case for inclusiveness was the most important thing for me. So I wanted to hit really hard on the points that were really affecting the LGBT community negatively for why you should help them, why it needs to be improved.
Diana, how about you? What were your best and most valuable experiences? Which it sounds like they're still going on, right?
They are. Actually, yeah. I conclude my internship next Friday, which will be sad. I've really enjoyed working with IMHC. I think that probably my most favorite experience was working at the State House with the senators and pulling together research information and making recommendations for the legislation that I was researching. So what I did is I looked at how is this impacting Indiana? So say the topic of teen suicide, how is this impacting Indiana overall? Then broke it down by looking at counties, because again, you're looking at all of Indiana. You just don't want to narrow in on Marion County or Indianapolis, because that's where we are and maybe that's where the State House is. So you have to look at how it impacts the whole area. What coalitions, committees are already in place that could actually be stakeholders involved in the research work and could come together as a committee or a group to help the legislation process, even bring them together for testifying when the bills come in front of the Senate or in front of the House of Representatives, whichever it might be. So I just getting caught up in how the bill comes together was a really exciting process for me. Then attending meetings, whether I went with Tony or was the proxy for IMHC in his place. Sometimes we did that because, like he said, he wanted his interns to come in and be part of the staff. So if we had several meetings that we needed to go to, then he would see what we were interested in, send us to that meeting. He would go to another meeting, and then we would just kind of debrief on what the meetings were about. And so it just gave us more presence throughout the community as far as being part of the Indiana Minority Health Coalition. And people knew that if they were going to put on an event, whatever it was going to be, or there was a meeting, that there was going to be somebody from IMHC that could attend, hopefully. I know my first event that I got to go to after the State House was the signing of the health bill with Mike Pence. And that was really interesting to be able to go see. It wasn't at the State House, which at that point I assumed all bills were signed at the State House. And you don't know unless you've been involved. But it was actually at a community center. Which one was that again?
Shepherd Community Center.
And so it was interesting just to see how the bills are signed and, you know, that they're most of the time signed and the place at which they actually rooted up from.
What surprised you about the experience. I mean, and I'm going to ask the same question of Whitney, because really, and I'll anticipate your disclaimer, Whitney, at that point, it really doesn't matter whether it's the programs or public policy. You're really involved in trying to take part in a public discussion about
exactly.
things that matter. So I'm going to start with Diana. But
what surprised me most was, you know, we can step back as the public and look at policy that's out there and think, what on this earth were they thinking when they put that policy in place? What surprised me most is how much research and consideration goes into policy development. And then on the same note as that is how much research and time and efforts are spent in advocacy, whether it is pro or con for that specific topic, such as your gun legislation, gun training legislation. How much, what is the opponent's idea? What is the person who's for it, how much time and effort goes into that, and the legitimacy of all of their, of how they feel about the bills. Everybody is passionate about what their position is. And so when you're looking at the legislation, oh my goodness, there is so much that goes into each piece of legislation that we don't realize. And I guess just thinking that we all have a voice, you know, like Michael Jackson's song, Man in the Mirror. Look in the mirror, see yourself, get an idea of who you are, and make your voice be known. Because as citizens, if we sit back and we don't say anything or do anything about it, then this policy is going to be passed on based on those people that do stand up and speak. So we need to actually find our voice and get out there and say what we think. And it's just amazing to me how much consideration that is all given when policy is being pulled together.
Whitney. Most surprising thing?
Through my internship, the most surprising thing for me.
Yeah.
The most surprising thing for me is how much time everything takes. you know, everything takes so much time. Even we had a statewide training recently, and I was given the task of pulling together some training packets, and it took 20 hours to pull those training packets together. And it's just, it's important work and you're doing good work, but it takes so much time. And that goes for everything. Planning for Black Expo, pulling together presentations, pulling together materials, everything takes time and very meticulous planning.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about a program designed to increase public engagement among young people. It's put together by the Indiana Minority Health Coalition. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Well, Tony, was this the first year you've done this, right?
Yes. So,
and
yes.
Did it start with the beginning of the legislative session?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have any misgivings that, you know, I mean, you marched all of these young folks right out into the middle of what turned out to be, you know, with RFRA, which we've made reference to already, this episode, I'm trying to look for relatively neutral words here, that made Indiana and its legislative process a focus not just of national, but international attention. Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot of it flattering.
Mm-hmm.
How did the interns cope with with that when suddenly, you know, you get used to having media types like me running around, but suddenly you've got, you know, the New York Times and international news outlets there covering things?
I thought to myself, well, I couldn't have paid for this. This couldn't have been a better opportunity for our interns to really be immersed in something big and something dynamic. I have been a community advocate and activist forever, so, you know, I live this stuff. So this was just a very exciting time. And despite the negative attention, I think, that Indiana received internationally on some of the issues, I think at the end of the session, some really proactive and historic things came out of the legislature. Specifically, and I'm most proud of our involvement with the Needle Exchange. And when I say our, I mean not only Indiana Minority Health Coalition, but our interns as well. The Needle Exchange legislation, when the conversation first started, it was no way is Indiana going to pass Needle Exchange legislation. And what we ended up was with a process that really is purposeful. It includes communities. It gives the community the opportunity to author what their Needle Exchange program might look like, to author what the problems are, to be inclusive of all of the community partners that need to make this case. Originally, when it was conceptualized, it was really supposed to just focus on 22 communities with the highest Hep C rates. What we ended up with was legislation for any community to be able to make the state, make a case for starting a Needle Exchange. And every week in the news, another community has started the process to be approved for Needle Exchange. And that's progressive for Indiana.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about a new program that is designed to enhance public engagement among young people. It's put together by the Indiana Minority Health Coalition. If you'd like to take part in the conversation, you can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI, on Twitter at WFYI. You can give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send, or you can do what a listener named Beth has done and send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. And Beth says, if public health is about our collective responsibility for the conditions that affect the health of populations, we must prepare future community public health leaders across sectors to engage in public development, analysis, and change. How can these programs change the nature of academic community learning? How does the academy need to change to realize this? So I'll start first, I think, with the two who are in the academy right now, who are studying. I think I gave Whitney the first crack last time, so I'll go with Diana.
I believe that changing to get more young people involved in the policy and advocacy comes from them understanding how important legislation is to their future and to the future of their children. Because what we are looking at, what IMHC does, is they become a larger segment of representation for the community. They're out, they're working with the community, they're hearing their voices, and so they're representing them. And I believe that as more students who are in the programs realize, in the community health education or public policy programs, realize that we are the people who are going to be out there making the changes, talking for, being the voice of the population, because we're the ones out there doing the outreach programs. So we can take it back to the legislators and the policymakers and let them know what actually the community is in need of, whether that is by us doing reports on our outreach programs or whether that is by us personally talking with the community. So I believe we just need to step out, maybe as we talk about sometimes, get out of our comfort zone of, you know, we just sit back and listen. We just need to step out and talk with people and understand what basically is needed in the way of health education.
Whitney, I'm going to reframe Beth's question a little bit and say, you know, what ways could young people in your position be better prepared to engage in those kinds of conversations? What skills? And you can take it, you can use it with this internship program. You can use it also just generally and in terms of educating you so that you're ready to step up and do these things. What could be done? What could we do better?
One awesome thing about public health is that you learn pretty quickly that an important thing is to try and address the community as a whole. Instead of trying to make differences in individuals' lives, you're trying to make a difference for the entire community. And how can you do that if you're not involved in that community, if you're not involved in policy, trying to make wide-scale changes. You can start programs and you can start nonprofits and
make a change that way. We are talking about a new public program coordinated by the Indiana Minority Health Coalition here on No Limits. My guests are Tony Gillespie, who's the Indiana Minority Health Coalition Director of Public Policy and Engagement, and Diana Hendricks and Whitney Lewis, two University of Indianapolis students who participated. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about an internship program designed to increase young people's ability to engage with important public policy questions. This one is coordinated by the Indiana Minority Health Coalition. My guests are Tony Gillespie, who is that organization's director of public policy and engagement, and Diana Hendricks and Whitney Lewis, two University of Indianapolis students who have interned through the program. So before we went to the break, we were talking about what you drew from it. I want to pick up, though, on something that Tony was talking about with it at the end of the session, the needle exchange legislation, which, as he said, there was at the beginning of that discussion, there was sort of an adamant opposition to the idea, but that also was another story. While it did not get as large as the whole RFRA thing, did mm-hmm. get pretty large. I mean, it right. became part of
international conversation.
Yeah, about all of this. Could you walk me through a little bit what the process of those conversations was and really how the interns took part in them?
Certainly. In our work in addressing health disparities and chronic disease, the committees that we work primarily with are the health committee. So that's the Senate Health Committee and the Public Health Committee on the House side. So in working with the House, with the chair, Representative Ed Clair, who authored the needle exchange legislation and actually authored it last year, and there was conversation the year before about it, the HIV outbreak was just that, an outbreak. Substance abuse issues have been major in the state of Indiana for a number of years, increased heroin use and other substances. So it wasn't a new conversation. It just, the outbreak was both the tragic and the tragedy and the outbreak just presented this opportunity that something needed to happen, and it needed to happen now.
To change the conversation.
Exactly, to change the conversation. So it was both tragedy and it was an opportunity to do something different. And in working with IU School of Public Health, Dr. Beth Meyerson, Representative Ed Clair, we really did a lot of research to find out what had taken place around in other states. Kentucky had just passed legislation on needle exchange, a very broad needle exchange program, making it legal in Kentucky. And it was very clear from the beginning that that was not going to happen in Indiana. So we really needed to look at what did Indiana need. So our interns were able to play part in compiling statistics around the hepatitis C rates, what are some of the other co-indicators, comorbidities, looking around the state, what the rates were, assisting IU School of Public Health, specifically Dr. Beth Meyerson, in determining which counties would be most affected right away, creating a table of quartiles to really break up the state to figure out, you know, who's most at risk next, who's the second tier most at risk, and then turning that into a conversation, working that into the legislation. And as I said, initially, the original piece of legislation or the original ask was really prescriptive to just 22 counties that had mm-hmm. the highest Hep C rates, to look at hepatitis C as a co-indicator as the next outbreak. What many people don't know is that Hep C has really eclipsed HIV. Mm-hmm. It's much larger than HIV, and there's still issues around accessing treatment and services around it, and there are more people living with hepatitis C, and it's not always covered by insurance, and some medication is available and some isn't. So there are a lot of disparities there. So really being able to take all of that information and turn it into a conversation and funnel it into something that's useful. And when it did receive a hearing, when it seemed like it was going to move forward, there was a conference committee hearing that brought House and Senate together. And the big concern was that Senate was going to fight it tooth and nail.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really dynamic and interesting conversation, and where our interns were able to play a really important part in that was, again, the research in providing information to some of the opposing testimony. One of the Indiana residents that opposed the legislation said that, oh, you can purchase clean needles already. I do it all the time through Walgreens and CVS. Well, when he said that, our interns got on their phones and logged on to Walgreens and CVS, and they said, I just tried to buy needles, and you can't do that. We were able to get that information to Representative Ed Clare, who said that's not true. So really being part of a real-time conversation and contributing that way. But what was the turning point for that conversation was Senator Pat Miller, when she leaned into the microphone at the beginning of the conference committee and said, what I would like to see in a piece of comprehensive needle exchange legislation are these things. And that sort of set the conversation that, okay, it's not dead in the water. There's a possibility that this is going to happen. We've just got to continue to do it.
Yeah, we're not fighting. We're negotiating now.
We're negotiating.
We're negotiating now.
Exactly.
Now, Diana, I want to ask, because this is you are, I think, what would be called a non-traditional student.
I am, yes.
This is part
now,
of...
Now, what is it that makes her a non-traditional student?
The fact that I had to introduce her as the owner of her own business. But, you know, most, at least when I was in college, I didn't own businesses. I barely, you know, owned the socks I wore. So could you talk a little bit about what this experience has been like, you know, having approached, you know, what really is the political and public policy process from an experience of having had some life and work experiences already?
I believe that having life and work experience already and being in the real world, seeing what takes place because of policy, and having a child already in school, growing up in college and out on his own and having grandchildren, I look at all of that, and I understand now how important it would have been when I were younger if I had understood policy like I do today to have been involved at that point. Because it's really important that young people understand, especially if they do have children, you want to be involved in policy. With my business, I think more of the reason why I got involved with the advocacy side and policy side is my clientele. I run a fitness training business. My clientele are 40 to my oldest client is 92. I see a lot of the health disparities that they're running into now that had health education been better when they were younger, would not be looking at spine fusions, would not be looking at hip replacements or knee replacements. They would have been able to take better care of themselves, or diabetes, or even high blood pressure. So for me, it was the biggest impact for me on this was I just want to see health education legislation that works, and I would love to see more of it take place in our school system, since health classes were pulled out of our school systems, most of them. I'm a really firm believer they need to be back in there, and you need to start with like a lifestyles class in maybe ninth grade and another one in 12th grade as they're getting ready to leave, not just health education, but how do I prepare myself for the life changes I'm going through. So the biggest part of why I got involved in it is I would like to make a difference just in seeing how the lack of knowledge as you're younger affects you when you get older. So the biggest thing I might impart on that is I believe that you are never too young to get involved in policy, legislation work, and there's always community organizations like IMHC or the ARC is also another one. There's many out there, the Arthritis Foundation, all of them. You're never too young to get involved in one of those.
We've gotten a Facebook message from a listener named Carrie, and if you'd like to reach out to us via Facebook, you can find us at No Limits WFYI. She says, it is evident that the Indiana Minority Health Coalition provides an important and unique opportunity that allows the next generation of public health professionals to actively participate in the legislative process, and that that cannot happen in the classroom. From the students' experiences engaging with policy members, what experience has been the most meaningful? And they'd like for you, the two of you to give, Carrie would like for the two of you to give, some examples of times that you might wish that you were a legislator, that you could be directly, rather than attempting to influence policy, maybe actually crafting it. I'm going to start with Whitney on that one.
Honestly, it's very daunting to be a young person. The young people are having a lot of problems with voting, having a lot of problems with feeling like they have autonomy and agency. And it's hard. It's daunting. It's a lot to take on. And I think that no, just having any experience with public policy has been valuable to me, because it shows me that I do have some agency. I do have the ability to change something, which is not something that I would have said going into college. And it's still scary to me. It's still confusing trying to figure out all of this public policy stuff and how to talk to legislators and how to create change and how to advocate. It's difficult, but knowing and having this experience talking to legislators, going to the state house, these are all valuable experiences in and of itself, of themselves, because now I know. Now I feel like I have the power, even if I'm not there yet, I have the power to get to a place where I can maybe be like Tony in the future, and I can make change, I can advocate, and I can get on a radio show and know what I'm talking about.
You're doing fine. You're doing fine with that. Were there, and picking up on the other part, have there been any times when you wish you were a legislator rather than someone advocating from, you know, even, and I spent some time earlier in my career as a lobbyist too, that you're still at some level outside the process.
Absolutely.
Advocating for change. Are there times you feel you wish you were inside the process after this experience?
Personally, RFRA was something that hit really, really close to home for me. And even, you know, seeing on the news all of the media about Planned Parenthood, that's something else that I wish that I had more of a voice in. Just some of these issues that I think really affect women and reproductive health are things that I just wish that I could be really involved in and have a voice, other than just advocating for the issues, as you said.
Diana, how about you?
Yes, mine would be the needle exchange program. And then that also ties me back to possibly even looking at birth control, possibly ties me into looking at the HPV virus shots. What happens is we can sit back as a public and think, okay, well, if we do condone this to take place, if we do vote for this, then that's just saying, go ahead and go out and do it. You're giving them permission. But what we don't realize is there are people that are going to do things whether or not you have programs in place that safeguard the betterment of the whole community. So you have to assess your situation. Is the needle use, if we don't provide them clean needles, are they going to stop using? No. That's not the case at all. They're going to find those dirty needles, and they are going to use them. And then what happens with the HIV, the spread of disease, when they start coming in contact with other people? The same, again, with legislation that would have to do with the HPV. You're not saying young people go out and have sexual relations. What you're saying is, let's just be safer about it. And that's where I would like to be part of the legislation process, or a legislator, is because understanding that aspect of it and taking yourself back when you were a younger person, knowing that, or a person who is using, knowing that you're not going to stop that act just by saying, I'm going to put legislation in place that's not going to allow you to have things. You've got to look out for what is the betterment of my community, and what kind of legislation can we put in place that protects most people?
Tony, I'm going to ask you, you know, with this program having gone through its first year, what lessons learned did you have? I mean, are there ways that you would alter the way you do the internship program next year? Are there things that you would refine, different things you would emphasize? What did you take from what was, in effect, the shakedown cruise?
I think the shakedown cruise, I would love to see us create more opportunities for our interns to spend more time with legislators. We were able to work with Representative Claire, Representative Smith, Representative Shackelford, Representative Breaux, where the interns were able to shadow them, spend a day with them and shadow them. I'd like to see more of that. We were also able to, I want to see us do more with the community as well. At the end of the placement for the two young men who have gone on, and Diane and Whitney are now picking up the mantle, we have started doing a tour around the state with our coalitions. We have 25 minority health coalitions that serve 29 counties. We're now doing legislative updates. So I would really like to see us purposely take what has happened during the legislative session and translate that to community updates and community information and really begin to build more of the efficacy of community to be part of the process as well. So those are some goals for next year.
Whitney and Diana, I'll start with Whitney on this one. Having now been through the internship, are there ways the experience could be enhanced for you, things that you've seen now that you've been through it that you didn't get to do that you would like to?
I think that the more networking you can do, the better. The more you can go out and talk to community partners, the more you can give presentations to the community itself, the more you can talk to legislators, the better off you're going to be, the better off you're going to feel prepared. That's something that I would like to do more. I would like to be more involved, actually doing the things myself, taking on projects on my own, planning them, implementing them, evaluating them. That's what I would like to do. That's what I hope that there is more of in the future.
Diana, how about you? What did you not do that you would have liked to?
Just what Whitney had just said, the same thing. Designing, implementing, and evaluating a program. Our internships are only 4 months long. It does not provide the length to be able to do that. I am working on one with Tony right now that I asked if I could stay on past my internship and assist him, finish assisting with, and that is putting together an advocacy plan toolkit. So I will be staying on and helping that with him finish that. And I will get to implement and evaluate. So, but I think that the internships were a little longer. That would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think that will have to be the last word. I'd like to thank my guests, Tony Gillespie, who is Indiana Minority Health Coalition Director of Public Policy and Engagement, Diana Hendricks, who is an intern with the Indiana Minority Health Coalition, also through the University of Indianapolis and the owner of Healthy Lifestyle Center, LLC, and Whitney Lewis, who is also a University of Indianapolis intern with the Minority Health Coalition. I've enjoyed talking with all of you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Also, like to thank our listeners. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. We'll be back next Tuesday. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.